Welcome to the Perry Johnson Laboratory Accreditation Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to the laboratory accreditation industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you'd like to tune into our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjlabs.com or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Everybody, and good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you happen to be logged into today. My name is Michael Kramer. I am the Calibration and Inspection Program Manager at Perry Johnson Laboratory Accreditation, and I will be presenting to you all today on behalf of PJLA. And as you can see, the topic for today, for this monthly webinar, is we're going to center around our SOP3 that you'll see referenced in here, and its use of accreditation symbols and reference to accreditation. This is some introductory information about Perry Johnson, ILAC, and APAC. So we are a MRA signature, mutual recognition agreement signatory of the International Laboratory Accreditation Cooperation, i.e. ILAC, and of the Asia Pacific Accreditation Cooperation, APAC. APAC is the recognized regional cooperation by ILAC, which is where we at PJLA, that's based in Troy, Michigan, we fall under that regional entity for IDAC. As a signatory, PJLA is required to adhere to the rules of both ILAC and APAC. Due to this requirement, organizations accredited or in the process of becoming accredited shall adhere to the policies of PJLA. So, you know, we have PL1, 2, 3, PL4, but this will also include SOP3, which is the symbol and a reference to accreditation protocol established by PJLA. Well, ILAC, a little bit about ILAC, and as stated, we are at Perry Johnson. We're an ILAC signatory under that MRA. So it's a global association for accreditation of laboratories, inspection bodies, proficiency testing providers, and reference material producers, with membership consisting of accreditation bodies and stakeholders throughout the world. So what is ILAC involved in? It is involved in the development of accreditation practices and procedures, the promotion of accreditation as a trade facilitation tool, supporting the provisions of local and national services, the assistance of developing accreditation symbol, and the recognition of competent testing, which includes medical, calibration labs, inspection bodies, proficiency testing providers, and reference material producers around the world. ILAC facilitates trade and supports regulators by operating a worldwide mutual recognition agreement. The ILAC arrangements among accreditation bodies, ABs, which that is us, PJLA, we are a accreditating body operating under the ILAC MRA. So as an ILAC signatory, accreditation bodies are recognized under the ILAC MRA, operates to 17011 and are assessed to this standard by ILAC. So this is an international standard. So we are assessed on a predetermined basis through APAC. And one of the documents they assure we comply with is 17011. Within this standard, a lot of the same things that are captured in 17025, for example, we adhere to. We have corrective actions, we have internal audits, we have management reviews captured in this documentation, in this standard. Also, they assess us or witness us perform assessments and ensure that we're complying with this standard in the same manner as we will watch you folks do under 17025, the tests and calibrations that are under your scope of accreditation. So within this document, 17011, 4.3, it requires accreditation bodies to have a policy governing the use of accreditation symbols and claims of accreditation status by its accreditation organization. Now, one of ILAC's P documents, P is policies, is P8, which provides supplementary requirements for the use of accreditation symbols and for claims of accreditation status by accreditation credited CABs, which will be you all, the folks that are subject to our accreditation, testing, calibration, reference material producers out there, in the context of the ILAC MRA. So I mentioned when they assess us, of course, we comply with 17011. They also assure that we are complying with their policy documents. And you can see right here, one of those is P8, which is hitting the nail on the head of the topic that we're discussing today, use of symbols and references to accreditation. So hence, PJLA has SOP3, which has been written in harmony with those requirements specified in both 17011 and ILAC P8. So under SOP3, some of the items that are captured is that the president or operations manager or designee is responsible for ensuring that accredited CABs receive the appropriate accreditation symbols, including this procedure, which is SOP3. The president or operations manager is responsible for enforcing the appropriate contractual restrictions governing its use. Our assessors examine as part of their assessments the use of the accreditation symbol and accreditation language. This includes the CAB's procedure for the use of PJLA accreditation symbol and accreditation claims. So PA aims to ensure a uniform approach to the use of accreditation symbols and for the manner in which an accredited organization may refer to its accreditation symbols status and make claims to the ILAC MRA. Our SOP3 also takes into account the utilization of the ILAC mark, and it incorporates requirements that are in our document, which is a rules document from ILAC. You can see there are seven rules for the use of the ILAC MRA mark. So we'll discuss that some, because these are crosswalked over to our SOP3. In accordance with the requirements of 17011, PJLA provides accreditation symbols to make others aware of their accreditation by means of various forms of publicity. The use of accreditation symbols or references to accreditation is voluntary. It's not required. We do like for you to use our symbol. However, it's not a requirement. However, when accreditation organizations intend to issue an accredited or endorsed reports to their customers, they shall include the appropriate reference to their accreditation and or using the PJLA accreditation symbol or language as specified in SOP3. Any misuse of the PJLA accreditation symbol or ILAC mark or any other governed mark as mentioned in SOP3 are treated very seriously and is handled through the PJLA's corrective action process. So as mentioned before, PJLA assessors examine the use of accreditation symbols and accreditation language as part of their assessment compliance with SOP 3. The accreditation symbol or reference to accreditation shall be included on all reports where accredited endorsed reports is requested by the customer of the accredited organizations. Symbol or references to accreditation shall only be associated with the services covered in the scope of accreditation and not with any other activities in which the organization, accredited organization may be involved. So in other words, what's under your scope of accreditation is what you are recognized for under your, this 17025, testing or calibration scopes. They are the activities that's being referred to here and are the activities in which reference to accreditations and usage of the symbol can be made. So do's and don'ts is specified in SOP 3. So items you can use the accreditation symbol in language or language. They include things such as company letterhead, business cards. You're still using fax cover sheets, envelopes, brochures, pop-up banners, posters, PowerPoint presentation, press releases, advertisements, websites, reports and certificates, email template signature, and compliment slips. Just speaking on behalf of myself, I still do quite a few of assessments. Probably see it utilized most on reports that are issued to your customers under your scope of accreditation, and also see it also referenced often on the websites. Don't. So we specify things that you cannot use the symbol or reference your accreditation on. That would be legal documents. If you have other sites other than the sites that are accredited by PJLA, they cannot have the symbol or reference accreditation in regards to those unaccredited sites. Can't use it on subcontractors, certificates, or documentation. You cannot use it before you're accredited. So if you're in the process of being accredited, applied for accreditation, you have to wait until you are officially accredited and you're provided a scope of accreditation. On products, so products are items with which the CAB has tested, calibrated, inspected. So in other words, it sort of implies product endorsement. Cannot reference our accreditation on that. And on reports, certificates, and closed letters of the results for which the organization scope is not accredited for, accredited by PJLA. So if there's a test or calibration that's not under your scope, and that's the only item that is on the report, and that cannot have an associated symbol or reference to accreditation with that item. If it is in conjunction perhaps with other items that are on the report, some are accredited or on your website, if it's mixed in with items that are under your scope and items that are not under your scope, it has to be identified. So for example, if you're doing a report, a test, and there's various tests on there, and of course, the ones that are accredited can utilize the symbols with. However, if there's also items that are not covered under your scope, then you have to sort of highlight that on the report, perhaps an asterisk where it would state this laboratory is not accredited for the test or calibration smart. Subcontracting. So in the case of an organization utilize external services for the work for which they are accredited. So in the world of subcontracting in 17025, we're talking about items that you are accredited for, and for whatever reason, you have a need, perhaps an unforeseen circumstance where you subcontracted out to another organization. The organization may include the results on accredited endorsed reports or certificate with the appropriate symbol or accreditation reference. However, it needs to be assured that all requirements of the ISO accredited standard are met for this service And the external service provider is accredited for the activities performed. So in other words, if you're subcontracting work, you can utilize that on your report. And there are requirements under reporting the results for subcontracting. Labels, we discuss a label, mostly see it associated with calibration labels. However, it could also be inspection or reference material labels. We discuss calibration labels. So if you want to utilize our symbol or reference accreditation on a calibration label, there are certain items that has to be crosswalked over to the accreditation on the label. That would include the name of the accredited calibration organization or its accreditation number. You have to identify the equipment that it was used on, the date of the current calibration, and a cross-reference to the calibration certificate. So, i.e., you have to have a unique identifier for reporting the results. So the calibration label would need to include a cross-reference to that report. Accreditation symbols may only be used on calibration labels that belong to the equipment that has been calibrated using calibration method covered by the scope of accreditation. In other words, your scope specifies for calibration labs, equipment used, and it also specifies procedural information. Utilization of the symbol there is, this is the excerpt right out of SOP3, where we have some illustrations there on how our symbol needs to be presented. So the authorized symbol or reference to accreditation, it needs to be clearly identified with the unique accreditation number assigned by PGLA to the accredited organization. PGLA prefers organizations to include the accreditation number as shown below. If an organization desires to include the accreditation in a different area, then they shall ensure that it is placed within close proximity of the accreditation symbol, which would include being on the same page. So it's a unique accreditation number right there. That's unique to your organization. So most folks are under the first two there, 17025, testing or calibration. So you have to include our symbol as depicted there. Your field of accreditation. So it's here we have testing, calibration, or happen to be an inspection agency, a reference material, or medical testing. Organization, and not to be confused with your certificate number, because that's subject to change. That accreditation number will not be changed. So assure that you use the accreditation number and not certificate number in association with the PGLA symbol. At no times does Perry Johnson Laboratory Accreditation have the authority to grant permissions for the utilizations of other organizations, such as other ISO, IEC, or APAC logos to be displayed on certificates, test reports, calibration, or any other documentation, with the exception of those outlined in SOP3. Now, if you happen to be a 9001 organization, you cannot utilize that symbol on a test or calibration reports. That is something that is not subject to those audits. A laboratory accredited to 17025 may mention that it operates under a management system on its reports and certificate using the following statement. This comes out right out of SOP3. The laboratory is accredited in accordance with the recognized standard ISO 17025. This accreditation demonstrates technical competence for the defined scope and operations of the laboratory quality management system. It's a reference there to an ILAC communication, a combo ILAC IAF. So 17025, we actually look at the technical competencies of the organization. If you are 9001, They look at the quality system. They don't look at the technical competence of an organization to perform testing and calibrate, or calibration, or whatever type of organization you may be under your ISO accreditation with PJLA. So in the case that the CAB, organizations that we accredit, make a decision not to utilize the accreditation symbol that was depicted earlier and choose only to reference their accreditation on calibration tests, including medical reference material, inspection, proficiency testing, then they shall ensure that the following included. So in other words, if, for example, on your website, if you don't want to use the PJLA symbol, but you do want to reference your accreditation, this is what we're referring to. Same thing with your test reports, calibration reports, inspection reports. Basically, yeah, as I outlined here, you have to reference the whole entire standard. So if it's 17025, it's the whole shooting match. ISO/IEC 17025, double knot, 2017. And it's accredited. Okay, not to be confused with certification or registration. So it has to state accredited. The accrediting body, which would be PJLA, and the unique accreditation number. So basically, if you think about it, if you look at what was referenced before, in lieu of the symbol, you just referenced the whole entire standard there. You would also reference PJLA along with your unique accreditation number. And then last but not least, you have to reference the field. So again, if you're a 17025 testing, or if you're a 17025 calibration, or perhaps your medical or an inspection body, proficiency testing provider, or a sampling organization, field would need to be also referenced in conjunction with the entire standard, the name of the accrediting body, the accreditation number, and then your field. So we give some examples of acceptable means of referencing accreditation, the whole entire standard there. And then unacceptable. So you can see down at the bottom there, I do see, I have run across where we see see that bottom part, 17025 registered. That's not correct. It's accreditation, it's not certified. And also unacceptable, just blanket. Stating 17025, ISO 17025, has to state the entire standard, ISO IEC 17025, 2017, accredited. All right, we mentioned the ILAC mark. So PJLA, yep, so we're well recognized, mostly here in the U.S. That's where the vast majority of our organizations are accredited from. ILAC is recognized worldwide. So in other words, even when I'm doing an assessment, sometimes I'll come across a report by another organization from another company, a symbol along with the ILAC mark. That tells me that that organization is recognized under the ILAC MRA. So you're perfectly can utilize the ILAC mark. And it's has to be used in conjunction with the PJLA symbol, and it will promote international recognition of the ILAC MRA and its accreditation services covered under the international agreement. So, and this is captured in SOP 3, and it's also, if you recall, R7 ILAC rules document. So this is also captured in that as well. So you have to sign an agreement that the PJLA will send you. So prior, you just can't just start using the ILAC mark. So you have to follow these requirements here. If you want to use it, in conjunction with the PGLA symbol. So you would request that the sign of that agreement, and you would have it would be between PGLA and your organization. And then with that the signed agreement, you would have to submit a draft or an example of how you would plan on using the combined mark with the PGLA symbol. Again, here's a copy of R7. So that's where we are drawing. These aren't things we are pulling out of our hat. These come from the ILAC R document, this rules document, these protocols for using our symbol in conjunction with the ILAC mark. And then how can you use it? There's pictures and illustrations in SOP3. So it should be used as specified as below. These are only examples. Additional programs may be available for the use of PGLA ILAC mark. PGLA will offer the utilization of any additional mark to accredited organizations as applicable. So some other things govern the use of the ILAC mark. When used in conjunction, which is required with the PGLA symbol, the symbol should be legible and non-distorted. The size and their size of the combined mark and symbol shall be no smaller than 20 millimeters and maintain similar proportion as a PGLA symbol, plus or minus 5% of the size between the PGLA symbol and the ILAC mark. It should be placed or horizontally. The combined mark should display the words ILAC MRA as they are part of the actual mark. The PGLA symbol and ILAC mark should be placed as noted in the previous example. Go back and look at that. You see they're side by side. However, in some cases, PGLA may allow a different format as long as the PGA symbol and ILAC mark are within close proximity. The ILAC mark can be either black and white or blue. And there's some deferred breakdown. And this comes from the ILAC R document as far as type of black or type of blue there. I just want to mention, I don't know if we have anybody online with us today that are under our NELAP program or our that we do have an appendix C is in cat for the field sampling and measurement organization for field sampling. Accreditation includes the oversight of field sampling and measurement organizations to perform the analysis of air, solids, water, soils, chemical waste, biological samples. These will be assessed in accordance with the TNI NEFAP program. So if I happen to have anyone here who is part of this program, I'm not going to go over those requirements, refer to Appendix C in SOP3. All right, as I mentioned, this is part of our assessment. When ILAC assess us, one thing they make a point to do is they actually sample. The last time they were assessed us, they sampled quite a few of our organization's websites just to assure compliance with their policy document, also on reports. So our assessors take it very seriously that these are requirements that an organization needs to adhere to. And during the assessment, non-conformance in regards to not meeting the requirements of SOP3 would be written as a non-conformance and would require a corrective action. So what I have here are just examples, and these are real examples. And like I mentioned, I do assessments, and I did find some here within the last year that I've written just in regards to non-conformances against SOP3. So if you recall, and under this particular one here, and the name blanked out, of course, the names for confidentiality purposes, we had an example of an endorsed report that was being utilized, referencing accreditation or utilizing our symbol for an area that this organization was not accredited. It happened to be a MASS standard bearing the PJLA symbol. Problem was, hey, they weren't accredited to do MASS calibrations. Hence, you see the requirements, the correlation, correlated requirements over there with SOP 3, along with the finding and the objective evidence that prompted this particular finding to be written. Mentioned before that the ILAC mark has to be utilized in conjunction with the PJLA symbol. So during the assessment, of course, we do look at the website, and found an instance here where I just saw the ILAC mark being utilized solo, not in conjunction with the PJLA symbol. Hence, a nonconformance was written against SOP 3.1.1, where we were talked about that earlier with PJLA and the ILAC mark being used in combination with each other. Mentioned that the reference to accreditation, the symbol has to reference your type of organization, sampling, testing, calibration, reference material. Here's an example of a website that was being reviewed during an assessment where I did not see that captured. This was a particular calibration. Well, in this particular one, it looks like it was both the was just the symbol by itself without the test or the unique accreditation number. Here we have two written on the same nonconformance report. So on the website, we mentioned, hey, you have to reference the appropriate standard. It's ISO IEC 17025 2017. This particular instance here, it was still referencing the old standard, 2005. And also found another instance on a report where it was not using the field. Particularly calibration, it was referencing guide, it was not specifying accreditation. There was ISO IEC 17025 accredited. It's not guide 17025, it's accreditation. So I wanted to just show you that, yes, these are part of our assessments. We do, along with, of course, the requirements of 17025, unless you're on one of our other programs, reference materials, inspection, proficiency testing providers, those requirements. And it's ILAC policies, PL1 proficiency testing, PL2 traceability, PL3 measurement uncertainty, PL4, we're going to mention that here after the questions, because that's going to be some changes coming up and it's going to be a topic of a future webinar, but also SOP 3. So one final thing here. So if there are issues, and we actually have during the course of the year would be brought to our attention, and I get them for calibration. I happen to be the calibration program manager, where it could be a complaint where perhaps on the website someone identified an organization misusing the symbol or referencing accreditation. We could send out a warning letter telling the organization to take appropriate corrective action. Or of course, during our assessments, during our annual reaccreditation or surveillance assessment, when we find violations. As you can see, they're handled just like any other nonconformance. You have so many days to close the non-conformance, and then you have to take appropriate corrective action, i.e., you know, hopefully do a good cause analysis where it won't repeat itself. So the president or operations manager is notified When a CAB, an organization, fails to take the appropriate corrective action for the misuse of accreditation symbol or language. When such cases occur, the CAB will receive a warning letter to immediately resolve the issue within specified timelines. Failure to meet specified timelines will result in the suspension or possible withdrawal of accreditation in regards to RSOP 11, which has happened to be suspension, withdrawal, or reduction of accreditation procedures. All right. I want to thank everybody for their attention. Bear with me 1 minute here. Kind of questions we have here. Question number one, is it acceptable to issue accredited test reports for non-accredited tests provided these are identified as non-accredited? If it's just the non-accredited activity by itself on the report, then no, you cannot use the symbol or reference accreditation for those items that are not under your test, or excuse me, under your scope of accreditation. If perhaps you have some items in there on your report, if it's a testing lab, where you have different tests that you are accredited for and items that you are not accredited for, by all means, you can reference accreditation. You can utilize the symbol on those test reports. However, for those items that are not under your scope of accreditation, just need to highlight them or identify them as not being covered under the scope of accreditation. Would you please explain accredited versus certified? Well, 17025, of course, it's accredited. It's both a, you're operating, you're accredited to the, you have a quality management system that where you're accredited to, been accredited, that you are operating under all the quality related activities and also the technical competencies, technical requirements. So it's both quality and technical. Certified. So you're 170 certified. That's just your quality management system, your QMS in general. It does not have anything to do with the output that you're producing. In our arena, it's your test or calibration results for the vast majority of them. Your 170, your 9001 registered or certified, which means you operate a quality management system in conjunction with those standards. Are you able to show an example of the two symbols being shown together? SOP 3 go to the, and they were referenced here not too long ago, actually. If that's what you're referring to, so the two symbols there, right there. I don't have any ones I can pull up, from assessments I've done. Use that illustration in SOP 3. Okay, bear with me. I'm a calibration person, so sometimes I get questions from some of you testing organizations that I'm not really technically competent to answer. This one here says, can we identify the antelit test that is accredited according to 17025 2017 standard? And then, excuse me, I'm in our SOA. For accreditation. Not really sure what that is, a antelite test. Again, I'll resort to your scope of accreditation. If it's incorporated within those test methods and you're reporting it to the customer, then I would say then yes, that you can most definitely use, you can bet issue endorsed reports for those types of tests. All right. I think that concludes it. Good questions. So before we go, though, I just want to give you a heads up for next month here. It's actually not out yet. Hopefully it's going to be out before this presentation, which are going to be in June of 2023. We're going to give an overview of PL4. Now, the calibration folks been operating on their PL4 for quite a while. PL4 has just been a calibration document in scopes of accreditation. It's been revised, so PL4 is going to become a much longer document because it's not only going to include calibration, it's going to include requirements, and these are for scopes of accreditation. For testing, we'll talk about it's going to cover flexible scopes, for example, inspection, proficiency testing providers, reference material producers, and medical. So not going to be my domain anymore, just as a, you know, for calibration, which is what PL4 was. It's still going to be included in there. There's going to be a few little changes. We're going to add a discipline to our calibrations. It's going to be identified in the revised PL4. So may want to make a point to join us on June 27th, and we will, and I will be presenting on this also, Matt Siki, who is our testing program manager. He is also going to be presenting. So we'll be doing this one together. So again, June 27th, same time, 1 o'clock, it's a Tuesday. Join us. I look forward to presenting and having you folks log in again. Thank you.